I was talking with a brother last night, and it's been a while since I've been the youth group leader. I don't know how many years. I think it was shortly after my son was born, and most of the kids that I had been the youth group leader for have now graduated, and they have kids of their own now. So I felt like I almost kind of need to introduce myself to this new batch. My name is Jesse. As Tim has mentioned, I'm the other Jesse. And what the Lord had put on my heart tonight, Pastor made a comment last night, and I knew that's what the title of this message was going to be this evening. He had mentioned when we sang the song, "This is my story, this is my song." And he had mentioned, you know, had he been in the meeting for over 50 plus years, and I knew tonight the Lord had put on my heart to give my testimony, and particularly what makes camp so special. I wouldn't be over-exaggerating in telling you that church camp can change your life, because it changed mine. I grew up in my household. The Lord wasn't the center of, you know, my immediate family household. I had a single mom growing up, and there was a lot of, you know, turbulence and different things. But the Lord was faithful to my life. The Lord gave me grandparents who loved the Lord. They were saved, and I think they were even filled with the Holy Spirit. They were Catholic, but they managed to get saved and filled. So, but it imparted a lot of wisdom to me and encouraged me in the Lord. And really didn't grow up going to church. You know, we kind of did the Catholic services on the big days, you know, Easter, Christmas, so on and so forth. I was always really close to my cousin Ben. We were like brothers growing up. And I think we had talked about it. It has been about 26 or 28 years ago is when I came to my first church camp. So during the summers, we'd spend tons of time together. We would spend the night at each other's house, and I'm sure they just invited me to church camp, and I said sure, and my life has never been the same, you know, since that day. I can still remember my first time at camp, my first memories. Me and my cousin were in one of the rooms at Ponderosa with another guy that's going to be speaking tomorrow. His name's Michael Coe, and we spent about an hour telling each other brain teaser, you know, stories, and, you know, just goofy little stuff, but it was so much fun. It was my first memory of camp. So tonight, what I want to share is, as Tim had kicked things off last night, one thing I did want to just mention, that something that just had so much touched my heart last night, was in the special that that you guys gave last night in Christ My Prize. And it moved my heart so much. It meant a lot to me that you guys, that the Lord brought that out through you guys. And it meant so much is, you know, that song, I don't know how old that song is, but I would imagine it's close to 100 years old. I'm not entirely sure. A lot of those songs were written a long time ago. But I thought of, like, each generation that has sang that song, from when it was first written to when my generation sang it, the generation before that, and so on and so forth. And to see you guys stand up in sincerity, it wasn't for show, or it wasn't, you know, something that was, you know, to get a pat on the back or something like that, but a sincere song of wanting to win Christ's best. And that's what it's all about, if you haven't figured it out yet, what we talk about in this place, and it's winning God's best. So it just meant so much to my heart that happened last night, and it just reminds me of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And until he comes again, it's going to continue on. He's faithful to each generation. He's been faithful to my life, and he's going to be faithful to your lives, and building his grace in your lives and making you ready for that trumpet sound. So as Tim had preached yesterday, he had mentioned the story of Martha and Mary. And as the Lord had been kind of preparing me to share my testimony this evening, the thought that he had put in my mind as we go through this tonight is the thought of sanctification. And if you look at that story about Mary and Martha, he had mentioned, you know, there's one thing that is needful, and that was being at the feet of Jesus, taking the better part. And if you look at what Mary did, that's a perfect definition of sanctification. She separated herself unto him. She was at his feet. And if those who aren't familiar with that word, sanctification is kind of a big word. And I'm going to touch on a few points here about that word to give a little context before I go in to our verse for this evening and testimony. Sanctification means to separate. So to separate from something to something else. It also means to purify. It also means to admire and recognize because of age, wisdom, and character. So keep those things in mind as we go through our service tonight. Our first verse that we're going to turn to this evening is Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. A very familiar verse. Some of you may not be familiar with this verse, but such a important verse to know, and there's a lot packed into this verse. So in Acts chapter 20, and in verse 32, and it says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So my story in as it relates to church camp and is, I guess, anecdotal in sanctification that the Lord has been working in my life. You know, as I mentioned, it's been about 26, 28 years since my first church camp. And I had grown up Catholic, so, you know, very much different than what we hear on a weekly basis of the, especially grace. And that's what you're going to find when you hear, by the grace of God, speakers up here, is that they're going to be centered around the grace of God. And you don't hear that in a lot of Christian churches today. You hear a lot of grace that is wrapped around in legality. I talk to, you know, a lot of my friends, unfortunately, they, you know, they love the Lord, they're saved, and but it's all about, you know, works. What is the fruit that you bear? What is, you know, you're a Christian if I can tell you, if I can tell you by your works. And if someone isn't walking with the Lord, well, you must have never been saved. You were saved by grace, but if you're not walking with the Lord, well, then you weren't ever really saved. So you're gonna hear it's much different in this meeting, in Brother Hawkins' meeting, all the different meetings that are represented here this evening, is that it's through grace, by grace that you're saved, through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God unto salvation. And it just doesn't stop there. We know that salvation, that initial saving is done through grace. Your spiritual growth is also going to be done through grace as well too. Your spiritual maturity is going to happen through grace. And if you win God's best, you'll know without a shadow of a doubt that it's all going to be because of grace. So we experience that grace, and Paul says, "I commend you to this grace." And that word commend means to, I love the meaning of it, it means to set a table. So it refers to setting a table for food, setting a table for instruction, setting a table for teaching or explaining. And that's what Paul is saying here. Through grace, this table is set forth for you to feast on this word, the word of God, to feed on this and grow on this as, you know, the greatest banquet that you could, you know, possibly think of. Spiritually, that's what we have available to us. That's what you're experiencing here up at camp, is a form of your, this is sanctification here. We're being pulled away from the world, even just for a few days, and we're being shut up to him and having a time away from the distraction, as Tim mentioned yesterday, to really let him speak to our hearts. There's a song that I really love, and it's called "The Inner Chamber," and a couple verses from that song that I wanted to share this evening. The first chorus goes, or the first line goes, "Not a sound invades the stillness, not a form invades the scene, save the voice of my beloved and the person of my King. Wrapped in deep adoring silence, Jesus Lord, I dare not move, lest I lose the smallest whisper meant to catch the ear of love." So if you break down that, what is being said there, if you think about what's being said there, you know, not a sound or nothing invades that time between him, me, yourself. You can put yourself in there between you and the Lord. No distractions, nothing. And when we look to him, we get that time with him where he really shows us who he is to our lives. Ty is preaching up this weekend, "Do You Know Who You Are?" And he tells us in this inner chamber, in this time of separation, who you really are. So for those of you tonight, I appreciate so much Tim's message last night. He was swinging a spiritual sledgehammer up here, breaking up the fallow ground last night for your hearts. And I know the first night because however long ago, more than I'd like to say, I was sitting in those seats, you know, a hardened heart, wondering if I should, you know, why am I here necessarily? I could be doing this or doing that. Someone had given a testimony, you know, the other yesterday that you know, they something had, you know, not worked out with some sort of camp, and that, you know, they ended up being here. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, 100%, that this time was appointed specifically for each and every one of you to be up here this evening and this weekend. God has called you this evening to hear his message. And not just to know him as a savior, not just to know him as a friend, but to know him in the most intimate and personal way, and ultimately to win his best and be ready for that second coming that's going to happen. Let's turn to a verse here. It's actually, I didn't write it down, but I remember it. Praise the Lord. It's in Psalms 139. Verse 17. So Psalms 139, verse 17. "How precious are thy thoughts towards me, or unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." So think of how much the Lord has thought about you before the foundations of the world. Ty this morning talked about, do you know who you are, in the sense that before the foundations of the world, before this world was formed, he was thinking of you. He was preparing tonight for you to hear the messages that are going to come forth this weekend, to hear the messages that your teachers have been prepared for you this weekend. He has specifically planned this time for you to get to know him, and for you not to just hear these words on a page, but to make them real to your life, to take them for yourself. And that's a little bit in my testimony. And this testimony that I give, it's by no means to glorify myself at all, by any means. I can't glory in anything. I have to give 100% credit to God for anything that is good in my life, or anything that may bless anybody, is 100% credit to the Lord. But as time had gone on, as I mentioned, I had started coming up, and each year it was it just started to become something that I did, whereas I came, you know, up every year for church camp, and the Lord just had spoken to my heart. I know it was either maybe my first or second church camp. I had never heard, you know, what is the Bride of Christ? Growing up Catholic, you just didn't really hear that. And actually, I ended up talking to Pastor Jesse, not pastor at that time, but Pastor Jesse, and he was explaining that to me even back then, over 20 plus years ago. And I didn't really know what it was, you know, at that time. I didn't know the verses. I maybe couldn't really explain it to you. But I knew that that was something that I needed for my life. That's something that I had wanted in my life. Stacy had mentioned earlier, it doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter your situation coming into this evening. I know there's lots of trials for a lot of you who've come up here. And maybe not a good situation at home, maybe not a good situation at school, maybe there's mental health battles that you're going through. It doesn't matter the situation that you're in. God has called you here this evening, and he wants you to have his very best. And in my life, not necessarily coming from the best situations in the world, by no stretch the worst by any means, but it didn't matter. Praise the Lord. The Lord put an aunt in my life who would drive across town every Sunday and pick me up from my mom's house, because my mom was not going to step into Living Waters Tabernacle. She does not like that place, especially at that time. But she was okay, praise the Lord, with my aunt coming and picking me up and taking me to church. And praise the Lord. And I was able to hear at that time, Brother Hill was the pastor, and just to start to grow in the Lord and start to chew on the word and, you know, wean from that milk and start chewing on the meat of the word. So as time gone on, many awesome experiences up here at the altar at church camps. There was times where we were up to, you know, almost midnight praising the Lord. We were, snot coming out of our noses, tears coming out of our eyes, just worshiping the Lord. There was one church camp where we were just screaming at the top of our lungs, just praising the Lord. And not to make a show of anything, but just the Lord in that inner chamber, that place of sanctification, speaking to my heart particularly, but so many at that time, in the Lord, and just touching my life in such a way, just making himself more and more real to my heart. As Stacy had also mentioned, we talk about the Holy Spirit, and this is real. This isn't just something that we really want you to have, or, it's because it's tradition, or, anything like that. It's because this is real. This is powerful. This will change your life. This will change you from glory to glory. If you're having troubles, if you're having battles right now, he is able to give you complete victory over anything. Just through him. It doesn't matter the situation that you're in. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And instead of that just being something we say, it needs to be real in our heart. And that's what he wants for you at this time, is to make it real to your life. So as time had gone on, growing in the Lord and, starting to come to church, fairly often, through middle school and then high school. Then high school came. And bless her heart, my mom, she, in her wisdom, she would tell me, high school is going to be the best time of your life. So just live it up, because it only comes around once, and, you're only going to have that time. So which meant, all right, well, I guess I better go party. I better go do all these other things, that the fun things that, that a lot of people say, or, even the kids younger than me now, I see coming up through high school and have graduated, oh, I can't wait till, I can go and party and, whatever else. And I can tell you, I've been there, and I'd be lying to you if I wasn't telling you that it wasn't fun, because it was fun. There was fun in that, but it came at a cost. Let's turn to 1 Peter Chapter 5. And in verse 8, it says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And turn over to John chapter 10, verse 10. And it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And we're going to read the second verse, second part of that verse in just a second. But during that time in my life where there was a battle going on there. There was a battle of the devil, you know, laying out that candy, so to speak, of like, look at how much fun you're going to have. Look how much life you're going to experience. Look at all the fun things that you're going to experience, you know, that you have available to you. And then on the other side, I had the Lord, in knowing that I did want to win God's best. And there was that battle that was taking place. And for a period of time, you know, at least about 2 years, I would say, there was the choice of not going on with the Lord. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, going that route, your adversary, the devil, he walks around as a lion seeking whom he may devour. And his sole purpose is only to steal, to kill, and destroy. And if you walk that route, those are the things that will happen in our life. And I can be testimony to that, is that he was destroying my life. He was stealing this from my life, and he was wanting to destroy ultimately my life. And it finally came to you know, a time in my life where we see here, now the second part of this verse, of verse 10, John 10:10, and it says, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have life more abundantly. So at a certain point, I was walking both sides of the fence. I don't know what I was thinking. I would go to a Bible study, you know, at that time with my friend Steve, and we would have an awesome Bible study about the Lord and, you know, worshiping the Lord. And later that night, I'd go party and get drunk and get plastered and end up running from the police. I was on both sides, and there was a battle going on there, and it took a trip to Mexico. I was going on my senior trip, and I knew the Lord didn't want me to go, but I was bound and determined to go. I had lost, you know, my driver's license, you know, that week, and, you know, you need your driver's license to fly, obviously. So I'm at the DMV the morning of my flight, like literally hours before my flight, trying to get into the DMV, get a license, and, you know, catch a flight down to Mexico, because I was going to live my best life. I was going to have, you know, I was going to live it up. But I knew in the back of my mind that something was going to happen down there. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I just knew something was going to happen. But I was determined to go nonetheless. So one night, we're out and going to a club and, you know, whatever. And someone got sick, so I had to take them back to their hotel room. And I'm going back to where, you know, the sponsored club was that night. And in God's faithfulness, he afflicted me that night. There came a taxi, and it hit me going about 30, 40 miles an hour. I flew up, I hit the windshield, bounced up over the car, and, you know, was just laying there in the street. I don't remember a whole lot. I just remember a few things here and there. But I do remember getting wheeled in to the hospital. I was in, you know, one of those you know, neck braces, you know, for my neck, and them cutting the shirt off me to, you know, assess the damages. And I just knew I had to make a choice. There was a choice that I was going to make, and it was either going to be for him, or it was going to continue the way that I was going to go. And I knew if I was going to continue the way that I had been going, that the Lord was going to take me home. Without a shadow of a doubt, I had known that that was what was going to happen. So there was a time of separation that happened in that accident. Just me and the Lord. Just there was no distraction. I was laid up. I couldn't really move. I had, you know, blew my knee out. You know, I was, you know, not in a good way, and needing to, you know, come back home from, you know, Mexico to Colorado. And I remember a phone call, you know, I had, you know, with my aunt. And I just broke down because I just knew there was a choice that had to be made. And I hadn't made that choice quite yet at that time in that hospital, but I knew that there was a choice that I had to make. And so they get me patched up enough, you know, to get back here to the United States, to Colorado. And I'm looking pretty bad when I get here. I remember seeing my family and, you know, just, you know, being so thankful that the Lord, you know, had just spared me in that. I probably should have died or just had severe injuries, but the Lord just managed to tear up my knee a little bit and, you know, just get scratched up pretty good. And there was a time there where I knew I had to make a choice what I was going to do. Did I want to win him? Or did I want to go back into what I was into? And the Lord just gave me verses after verse. And ultimately, there came a day where it was time to go back to church for the first time. And my aunt, I think, had picked me up to take me in. And we had spent several minutes outside that church. And there was a battle going on a spiritual battle that I really can't describe to you that was taking place just for me to even step in the church to talk to Brother Hill. I think I had taken a step and had turned back a few, for minutes. I just wasn't, there was just such a battle going on that I didn't know if I could walk, you know, back into that place, and the devil was just fighting so hard. And so I'm so thankful for my aunt, and she finally encouraged me to walk into the, to walk into the church, and it was just this weight had fallen off my shoulders. And the decision had been made right there for my life. And I knew at that point that I didn't want the things of the world anymore. They were fun. There was excitement in those things. But it wasn't worth what I was going to miss. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, guys, those times that I have had up here at church camp or walking with the Lord have truly been the best times of my life. They have been the most fun times of my life. The world cannot compare to the joy of the Lord. I don't know how many nights after every party or after, you know, one exciting thing after another during that time, I would go home and I would just feel so lonely. I would just feel so sad. You know, you would drink to kind of, you know, numb the pain or whatever it would be, or just try to stay busy or, you know, do this thing or that thing, try to keep myself busy, cumbered about many things to distract the void that was in my heart, the loneliness. And if you've ever felt that loneliness, it's a painful thing. It hurts and it makes you miserable. I hated going to sleep at night because that's when, you know, all the fun was over and it was just me by myself. And I just had felt so lonely. And I have never felt that way since I made the choice for the Lord for my life. And to his glory, nothing that in myself, as you should hear through this testimony, that it was nothing of myself to make that choice, but simply the faithfulness of the Lord to my life, and by the grace of God, making that decision by faith to seek him out and walk after him and have him reveal, to put me in that inner chamber with him and have him reveal himself to me. And I don't regret any moment that I've made or any decision that I've ever made for the Lord since then. He's given me a wonderful wife that I'm so thankful for, two wonderful children. He has blessed my life in not in an amazing job, or, you know, I'm not rich or anything like that, but I'm a rich man in the Lord, and I can only give the Lord the credit for that 100%. But ultimately, that's what matters. A lot of you are getting ready to, you know, maybe graduate high school and maybe start a career, and, you know, those are all good things to strive for something, to maybe strive for a career, but I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, you won't make a family member more proud, your parents, grandparents, maybe an aunt, than making a decision to want to run and win God's best. There's that song last night when you guys sang that song, Christ My Prize, meant so much to my heart, and I know it meant to so many older parents in here and grandparents, etc. And that's what it's really all about. With my kids now, having kids now, of course I'd want them to grow up and, you know, live a happy life and be the things that they'd want to be. But nothing will make me more proud of them is if they decide to go on with the Lord and win His best and love Him even more than I do and run after Him more diligently than I even do. Nothing will make my heart more happy. So guys, tonight, if you've been battling that calling tonight, tonight's your night. Tonight's the night to lay it out to Him. Tonight is your night to go into that inner chamber. In Philippians 3:10, you don't have to turn there, but it says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. There's a Holy Spirit that we talk about all the time. Stacy said we, you know, maybe sometimes get a little overzealous with telling you how important the Holy Spirit is, but it's for good reason. It's the power of the resurrection in your life. That resurrecting power that took place, and when Paul says that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, that's the Holy Spirit. So that Holy Spirit in your life, anything you're going through this evening, it doesn't matter what it is. You get that Holy Spirit and you can have complete and total victory. You will be more than a conqueror through Him. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Pastor had preached maybe a month or so ago, and he talked about Jesus being the author and finisher of our faith. And as I had mentioned, the title of this message being, "This is my story, this is my song." Each and every one of you have a story and a song before the Lord. And He is the author and the finisher of that story and that song. He authors that in your lives, and He will finish it. And that's something that really stuck out to me in that last sermon. He will finish that story. He will finish that song. I haven't attained. I, by God's grace, want to win His best, but I haven't attained, but I press on. And in your life, He will be faithful to your life, and He will finish that work in that inner chamber, and He will make, if you let Him, a masterpiece of your life. I pray that was a blessing to you this evening. And there's that verse that says, redeem the time. Now's the time, guys. Don't delay. We used to have a snack shack back in my day at Ponderosa. And that robbed more altar time. And I know there's a bonfire tonight, and that's a great thing, and that's a wonderful thing, but don't let it rob you tonight of some altar time and getting filled with the Holy Spirit or just having the Lord reveal Himself to you more in a deeper way. So tonight, if the Lord's tugging on your heart, come down. If it's by yourself, that's great. If you want to come down with someone, counselors, parents, go to them, and I know they'd be more than pleased and happy to pray with you this evening if you want them to. Or if you want to do it by yourself, that's what that inner chamber is for. So as you come up, Bob, can we sing 57, the inner chamber?